Please be seated. I've got a reading that gives us another insight, another snapshot into the life of Peter. Those of you who haven't been here before, this is the third message that we've been looking in this series of how Peter's life has been a roller coaster with God. One day he was, me and God are like this. I serve him, I do this for that for him, and the other. And the next day he was right down in the doldrums of spiritual, almost depression, as he was being ashamed to confess that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is Christ. And we've seen some of those episodes as we look into his life, into his calling, and then in his life, and his misunderstanding of who Christ was, his misunderstanding of what that cross meant for the disciples' life as such. So this morning reading is taken from Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 24, a snapshot of how the Lord allows Peter to come almost to the end of his rope, right to a moment in his time where he really, you think he couldn't go any lower, where he really denies Christ and his lordship, where he undermines his faith and his walk with God. And I love the way Jesus deals with him. So let's hear those words from the scripture. Let's put it in the context of verse 24. Also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call them benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is he not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But Peter replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." That you know me. Whew, incredible words, incredible words. Like to have a time where we come before the Lord, come to listen and encounter the living Word through the Scripture. May we feel that love that stirs our hearts to say, "Oh, I love you. How much I'm in love with you." As our hearts start from wherever we are, in a cold place, dark place, or a joyful place and full of praise, may echo, all of them may echo those words, "How I love you," as we listen to the Word today. May we learn, may our hearts be quickened by it, and may we have the strength to put that Word into the practice of our lives. We ask this in the precious name of the Word of Life, Jesus Christ. Amen. Like to welcome the students back from Cape Ray. Yeah, welcome back. Well done. Some new ones, I think. Yep. Yeah, well done. Where are you from? From the States. Yeah, bless you. And I think the four of you have seen before. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have I seen you before? No. Where are you from? All the States. Brilliant. You're very, very welcome. Bless you. Lovely to have you with us this morning. Thank you. Well, you know, there is a story of a very faithful man who served the Lord for many years. He was preaching the gospel. He was reading his Bible. He was going to the house groups. He was praying. He brought his family before the Lord. But in time, he felt that all these things became somehow an obligation and a burden. To pray, to read the Bible, everything become like almost reading a couple of words from here, nothing happens. The heart is not stirred anymore. And this became, from what was an incident here and there, became almost an everyday walk in his discipling life, in his discipleship life as such. And when he asked the Lord, what is the problem? After a few months, almost a couple of years, the Lord showed him what the problem was. He said to him that every time I wanted to take you on a path that you were not used to, you refused. Every time I wanted to take you into a house where there was no joy, you refused. Every time I wanted to take you into a situation that was conflictual and was difficult to face, you refused. And so your growth has stopped. My brothers and sisters, I think those words from the beginning of this message, I like us to use them as a platform for the message this morning. Growth in our lives comes in all sorts of forms and shapes, but most importantly, in different ways, which we cannot, or we can in a way, but we shouldn't have control over them, but allow the Lord to take us on. I would like to grow in my intimacy with the Lord just by reading the Bible and praying. Wouldn't that be lovely? But the Lord sometimes takes us on a path that involves suffering and difficulties and challenges. And like that man, when the Lord showed him why his life with him has stalled, he said, I wanted to take you there, but you didn't want to go. And if I put you in front of it, you moan and kicked and screamed and so on. And this is what happens. It's funny that I prepared this message a few months ago. Well, not a message, but a series, as you know. The Seasons of Faith series that we are in. And how timely has come that we living at the moment, this week especially, in a turmoil of activity of our leaders. From political to policemen to pastors to presidents. We have seen them fall short of the office that they've been entrusted, office of trust. I'm not going to name names, but you know what I mean. It's been on the news all the time, all week. In fact, the last 10 days or so. So I want to bring a warning from the very beginning that those of us who think we are very close to the Lord, as in Corinthians says, so if you think you are standing firm or you are close to him, be careful that you do not fall. This is what happens in our passage in this episode with Peter and his life. When he thought he's the strongest, then something happened. And I'm telling you why this morning. Well, I hope I can. Why the Lord allows that. Why allows us to go on that path for us. I want to talk to you indeed about why God allows people to feel cold, to fall away, to backslide, to not have intimacy with the Lord at times. Why does he allow that? And I could talk about, as I said, about politicians and presidents and pastors who have fallen from that grace, and I stand here only because of his grace, not because of how close I am with the Lord, but because of his grace in my life that has protected me and has kept me safe so far. But the Bible is full of people. We don't just have to look at our political sphere and at the social context of our lives today, but look at a Noah who got drunk. Look at Abraham who lied about his wife. Look at Moses who murdered an Egyptian. What about David, who both murdered and committed adultery? Those are lives there who the Lord has allowed them to come off his grace. And yet we know about David that God says there's no man like him. He's a man after my own heart. The same he says to Peter in different ways and in different words. On you, Peter, you the rock, I'm going to build my church. But before that, you're going to deny me three times, boy. You're not going to know me as Lord and Savior. You're going to preach the biggest sermon of your life, Peter, and the church will be built on you. But before that, you're going to disown me, and you're going to refuse to know me. Why does that happen in our lives? Why does it happen? It's so obvious, yet so hidden and secret, especially in this encounter with Jesus. Listen to those words. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Ooh. But I have prayed for you, Simon. I pray for you that your faith may not fail. And then when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. Jesus knew that this guy is going to disown him. If I would have known that someone is going to betray me and have a go at me, I would have told him, I know what you're going to do to me, and that's the end of this relationship. Full stop. But Jesus doesn't say that to him. I know what you're going to do, but you'll be strengthened through this, and you're going to go and strengthen others. Whew, it's beginning to look a little bit more like Christmas, doesn't it? It's beginning to come home. Why does God allow us to fail in our relationship with him, or even fall in sin sometimes? And you know Peter's answer, oh, bless him. Oh, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison, to death. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 5 hours later from these words, I don't know him. Yeah, you've been with him. Me? No. 5 hours later, oh, Peter, I have prayed for you, brother. I pray for you that when you have turned back, that when I have allowed you to go onto that path that you didn't want to go, and when you have come back from it, you've got a story to tell and a witness to share, because you'll be stronger, you'll be more powerful. Why does God allow us to fall? Could it be that he wants us to strengthen us? Could it? If I read the scripture well, it looks like that's what it is. Why do we sometimes grow cold in our relationship with him? Why are we not all the time 100% close to Jesus? Could it be that he wants to take us on another path where we can grow and become a new witness, powerful to his glory and to his grace? Probably it is. When you have turned back, I love the two other translations says, when you have turned back, and the other one says, when you are converted. Do you think Peter really believed who Jesus was up to this time? Did he understood, like I said last week, what the cross was all about? I don't think he did. He thought that Jesus is going to take him only on a nice path, sunny path, lovely mountain tops where there's always clear skies. He didn't expect that. He didn't expect that Jesus will allow him to go on the other path. But when you've come back, when you turn back, when you converted, when you really believe in me and understand who I really am, then you'll become to look more like me, to share my glory. I love when Jesus came to her. He came because he wanted to understand how we live and how we feel. It is entirely possible to be an unconverted Christian. Let that sink in. And so let me highlight three things to you very quickly. There is a danger outside. We've seen in this that it says, Simon, Simon, Satan, there is an enemy, has asked to sift you. That enemy will try to keep us on a nice path that is not God's path. Has tried to sift you as wheat. Other translation says, has demanded to have you. And another one here says, has claimed the right to pull you apart. And God allows for that to happen. We've seen that in Job's case. He's lost everything because God allowed it. And yet, we've never seen probably a biblical character more powerful, more faithful than Job and his faith. Those, after Peter encountered this path of Christ, look what he writes later in his letter. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion. Why do you think he wrote those words? Because he's seen it, he's noticed it, he's been there. He felt it at the gate or nipping at his soul, nipping away, roaring like a lion for someone to devour, to take him away from past purpose, from past God's path, from God's grace, from God's salvation. Let me say this to you. If you're a Christian and a believer in the cross of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, if you're a believer that he is the Savior, your personal Savior, Lord and Savior, you will never lose your salvation. Never. Because the grace of God will sustain you. That cross has such a power that you will never lose that power as you trust in him. We cannot minimize that. We cannot undermine it. Yeah, we can try to go around it, but we'll never succeed. The cross of Christ is so powerful that as we trust in it, we'll never lose our salvation. The devil is allowed, as much as God allows him, to come and nip at our souls, but he will not destroy them. He will not have them, because Christ has died for them on the cross as we trust in him. So there is a danger outside. Secondly, there is a challenge within. Satan often attacks us at the point of our strength, not at the point of our weaknesses. Usually when we feel close to God, that's when Satan comes. He always goes for something where we are very, very vulnerable in a sense, but at the same time very proud, cocky about it. He comes and nips at it. You remember what Peter said, even if all fall away, Lord, I will not, is recorded in the Mark Gospel. Even if those guys are going to be embarrassed by you, I'm not going to be. You know I'm not going to be. And he was the only one who was embarrassed at the end of the day. Be careful when you stand that you may not fall, Paul reminds us. When Satan attacks, it comes suddenly, swiftly, and unexpectedly. It usually does. If you know you have a weakness, that's the very area you will guard most carefully. If you know you have a problem with anger, that's where the devil will come. If you have a problem with laziness, that's where he will come, with lust, with whatever it is, that's where the devil will come. But it's not so with your strengths. You tend to take those areas for granted. Yet the most time we are tempted is when we feel more powerful and strong. And that's the biggest falls ever. When a person takes any area of life for granted, that's the one area Satan is most likely to attack. And why? Because that's the one area where you are watching, you are not watching for his attack. Finally, there is a lesson learned here from Peter. It's a good thing that the Lord allows things to happen that allows us to go on different paths where we are not used to. Paths that involve conflict, discomfort, pain, suffering. By falling flat sometimes on our faces, we are forced to admit that without the Lord, we cannot absolutely do anything. We can do nothing at all. Failure, spiritual failure in this case, never seems to be a good thing when it happens, but if failure strips away our self-egocentric faith and confidence, then failure is ultimately a gift from God. And I think this is the path that Jesus wanted to take Peter on, to strip away some of that cockiness. And I love about in this passage that he never criticizes Peter, never. He never gave up on him at all. That's why he said there, when you have turned back, he knew he will. You were not going to let him off his grace. It's going to allow him to express his faith and his walk and his understanding of who Christ was. But at the end of the day, he will come back. His grace will sustain him. You know what I love about this passage? That Jesus has more faith in Peter than Peter has in Jesus. Still at this moment in time, Jesus has a lot of faith in him than Peter has in Jesus. He knew that Peter had important work to do. Go and strengthen your brothers. He knew that. If I would have been Jesus, I would have never allowed him to do that kind of stuff, because as a pastor, you need to be, you know, to put a nice image there. You're not allowed to fail, to fall, to sin, because otherwise, how can you be a witness? But Jesus thinks, acts, prepares, and shapes us differently in his discipleship school. Yes, I am going to allow you to go to difficulties and challenges, and I'm going to take you on different paths because you're going to go and strengthen your brothers, because you've been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the wounds on your back, and you can show them. You can show them. I love Peter did much for Jesus Christ after his fall than he did before. He did a lot of damage before as an unconverted Christian. But he did a lot of grace and goodness and gospel witness once he understood what Jesus was all about. That's the proof. Before he became a converted Christian, Peter was full of pride, self-confidence, impulsiveness, unreliability. After this episode, later on, as we will see next week, there is a lot of humility, new confidence in God, and a new courage, new determination to serve him, and so on. Let me share this with you. The things Peter lost, he didn't really need. Pride, arrogance, ego. The things he gained only came through sifting, humility, love, faith, understanding. My brothers and sisters, I wish that many of these things will come through just reading the Bible and praying. But they only come when we allow God to take us on the path that we are not used to. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. Those are the words that are recorded in the gospel. But I believe those are the words that not Luke wrote, but Peter wrote. He was very open about it. This is what I've been, what I've done. Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Those are the words that he wrote. And yet, later on, he wrote some other words of embarrassment where he denied Christ. So who is this story for? It's a story for those of us who feel tempted day by day, who fulfill the pull of circumstances, especially in today's day and age. This is one of the reasons I've chosen, and I felt the Lord is putting this series into my heart, because I felt many of us are struggling, especially in the last 2 years or so, with our faith in God. And let me say this to you with grace and with humility. God allows it for our own growth. And nothing will separate you from His love, not even COVID. I know, and I say this again with humility, some of us, and some of you have gone through bereavement, through betrayal, to disappointment in this last few months or before. God is with you in all of this. He walks step by step with you so that you may strengthen the brothers and sisters, so that you may grow in intimacy with Him and in a new understanding of His revelation of who He is for you. This story is for those who have fallen, backslidden, who have struggled with faith and want to come back to the cross of Christ. Once you believe in that cross, it grips you. Never let go. The story for those who are coming back to God for the first time. If you're not a believer, this is what we have, an image, a symbol of that. It is the cross of Christ. That you have to come back and say, I'm sorry. Would you be my Lord and Savior? Would you be my Lord and Savior? Let me close with an illustration. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says big seven I am sayings. I am the vine, I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the shepherd. I am the gate, and so on. And one of the most powerful that I never forgot, that was because I had it once in my exam for my degree, a theological degree, and I had to write it all in Greek. I had that sentence, I am the vine. I am the vine. Every branch that bear fruit, I cut it back so that it might bring forth more fruit. Why does Jesus cut the branch back? Because it already bears fruit. Doesn't he? It bears fruit already. Why does he have to cut it back? So that you'll bring more fruit. Fruit that we have never dreamt of, never asked for, but brings more glory to Him. Who is the better person to minister to people who suffer with drug addiction, with pornography addiction, who lost a loved one, but those people who've been through that, have come to the other end, who've been on that path that the Lord has taken them, have come back and witnessed to that power of Christ saving them. Saving them. He cuts us because we are fruitful and He wants us to be even more fruitful for Him. He cuts us because He is the farmer. He knows what is the process of growth. He knows how deep and where to cut. I am a branch. I'm not a farmer. I cannot tell the farmer where to cut and how deep he can cut. Even if I don't trust His method, I must learn to trust His character. His methods are not always praying and Bible reading. It takes us on paths that are challenging. We have to trust and understand His acts by believing in His ways, that His ways are good for us. We cannot reach the height and the purpose of our calling because or unless we allow Him to take us on path to lead to the cross. At the end of the day, all path, scripture, prayer, coming to church, serving, obeying, they all lead here to the cross of Christ. Because of the cross, because of the cross, we do what we do in gratitude. Because of the cross, as I said to you, the biggest two challenges of life is that Satan wanted to push Jesus away from taking that path, to go into the cross. And the second, what Satan does, is to try and take us or stop us from taking that cross and carrying it. That's what he will do. Those are the two things that this tells us. The purpose enemy is. As Luther, the theologian, said that the devil is God's devil. He can only do what God allows him to do in order to fulfill God's purposes, indeed. And that's where I feel the Lord takes us sometimes on paths of failure, of disappointment, of coldness of heart, that we may come back and strengthen our brothers. Let's just pray and then have a moment of quiet where we'll probably have a couple of songs. Jesus, you are changing me. And then we close with what a friend we have in Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the truth of your gospel that you brought out this morning. Thank you that you have called us to follow you, to be more like you, to trust you and obey you. Father, we cannot prescribe, predict, or even map out the road you take us. We are in your hands. And we would like to say, we trust you. Take us the way of the cross. And even when we fail, even when we don't want to go on that path, Lord, have mercy. Even when we dishonor you, Lord, have mercy and allow us to come back. May we learn the lesson and may we continue to serve the brothers and sisters. May the fall in our lives be the biggest weapon of grace in your kingdom and in your service. Lord, change us to be more like you. Change us, we pray.